This is the closing market report from Illinois Public Media for a Friday afternoon. Eric Snodgrass is now here from Agribull to update us on the weather forecast. Boy, it's been, after April, so cold, kind of nice that it's gotten warm here in the Midwest. What do you think of the change in weather?
Well, you know, April came in as the second coldest April on record. Those records go back 124 years in Illinois. Wisconsin and Iowa had their coldest Aprils on record. And then all of a sudden, we made this flip where we're getting some kind of early summer-like weather. I mean, shoot, we may have high temperatures today that get up close to our normal high temperatures in the months of June and July. Got a, you know, a really nice weather. And because of that, we've really rapidly accumulated growing degree units, more than 120 or so in the last 7 or 8 days, 120 growing degree units here in Illinois, which meant that corn we planted, you know, in the last 10 days, it's emerged, and that's pretty rapid. We made a huge, planting pace jump because of this nice warm weather we've had. We jumped 42%, which was not the highest. We actually made in 2013, jumped 67% in 1 week, but still, it's been quite nice. Now, I'll tell you this, if you got in a car right now and drove north, by the time you got toward the the Illinois Wisconsin border there near Chicago, there's actually a 40 degree drop in temperatures. So it is not a pleasant day in southern Wisconsin, northern Illinois, or in Iowa or Minnesota. And that's interesting because it's those regions, so southern Wisconsin, also Iowa and Minnesota, that are still quite far behind on planting progress. So it's raining there today, and they've got rain focused in that area for the next 2 days. So they're not going to get any field work done. They're not going to get anything planted over the next couple of days because of this, at least not a lot planted. So that's our main weather feature right now, is this incredible front, this warm front that's to the north of us here in Champaign. But southern Wisconsin, northern Illinois, Iowa, Minnesota, quite cold. We have temperatures, north of Madison that are 36 degrees right now. So I'm glad I'm here where it's in the 80s and not there where it's so much cooler.
When does this have an impact, the lateness actually of planting? Have you looked at any point into, how that differs from one place to the other? I know mostly we think about May 15th, May 20th and for corn, and then June 1 or something thereabouts for soybeans. But it does, according to the agronomist here, of course, drop off pretty dramatically as we start to go through the month of May.
Yeah, and that research is pretty well founded. But I'll say this, nationally, we don't start to see a strong correlation between planting date and yields until we get toward the very, very end of May and the beginning of June. We're right now in the ideal planting window. So this, I know it feels late. I know a lot of farmers want to get in late April, and very, very early May. But, we're not in danger of having issues with having yield issues later on in the season. And, think about last year, we had some late planted crop that finished or, was in grain fill in August, which was beautiful. So that's why it's difficult to really say that. The significant thing here to be thinking about would be if a decision gets made to change up an operation, going from corn to beans or other way, just because of the delays that are happening. And that's always an individual farmer decision that's quite, hard for us to judge and predict.
Let's cover one other crop, wheat, especially as it relates to Kansas out into Oklahoma. I think there's something happening maybe in the Four Corners area that has an impact on those places that produce wheat.
Yeah, absolutely. So, we need rain there. So we just got a new drought monitor update yesterday, and it really shows not much change in where we grow a lot of wheat in the center part of the country, where we still have some pretty well-entrenched drought. And that drought monitor is cumulative, so it takes a long time to get rid of it. But here's the big change. You're right about the Four Corners. We're going to be seeing a pattern shift such that we get a nice deep trough in the jet stream that digs through the Four Corners. And what that signifies to us here, that study weather, is that is a pattern that sets up a lot of severe weather in the Great Plains. So we typically have this time of year, this well-established front called a dry line. It's a boundary between the really hot, humid air out of the Gulf of Mexico that runs basically north-south, Nebraska to Texas. And on the other side of that line, you have the dry air coming off the mountains and the dry air of the desert southwest. And it's just it's a breeding ground for thunderstorms. It's a beautiful front that just kicks up that warm, moist, unstable air and blows up storms. So we're going to be in a really active pattern for a lot of severe weather, at least through the third week of May. I'll tell you, my students at the U of I are super excited about this because they're all going to go storm chasing and go out there and witness all of it. But, for relieving droughts, It's going to be hit or miss. These individual storms, yeah, they put down a ton of precipitation, but it's not like a big blanket of precipitation like you can get out of a big low pressure system. So repeated chances of storm through the next 15 days out there. Where it's dry, north of that. So in the north and South Dakota, where it's going to be dry, southern Canada, where they're already dry. So that is that's an area that we're going to have to be watching for some continued issues as we move throughout this growing season. But yeah, the Central Plains about ready to get lit up with a lot of severe weather.
Let's hopscotch the globe just a bit now. The Black Sea area, what do you see?
Well, it's been dry there for the last 45 days, but the longer-term forecast for the next 15 days doesn't show a strong anomaly either way. So not wet, not dry. Which means that we could be seeing, you know, some more normal precipitation patterns moving through the Black Sea.
Second crop corn in Brazil?
Well, we've seen a pretty interesting flip here. Remember how great the monsoon was early? Well, we've seen the monsoon end. It ended a little early in southern Brazil. So that second crop corn down there has been struggling. I've got a lot of reports that it's not going to be another bumper crop. So quite disappointing. And even Mato Grosso's turned dry. So when they turn dry this time of year, they're turning dry when it is already supposed to be dry because the monsoon is ending. At least it ends in April.
We talked about Argentina all winter long during their growing season. That's over. Do we see any change there?
Unfortunately, for the last several days and for the next 15 days, the forecast is for them to be much, much wetter than average. So what crop they have been salvaging, trying to harvest, they're now having to deal with a lot of that, you know, the harvesting of that crop in a lot of rain. And it's just, they've been dealt a pretty rough deck of cards this year.
Here in the United States, have you thought much about our summer months?
Yeah, you know, I've been kind of formulating a plan for summer here for quite some time, and I'll tell you some of the big features that we're going to be watching. Interesting things going on in the Pacific Ocean right now and the Atlantic. We have some cooling in the main development region where we grow a lot of hurricanes in the Atlantic. We have warm water off the southwest coast of the United States. So this is from the Baja extending to the Central Pacific. And then we have what's called a Modoki El Nino, and that's basically where you have cooler waters south of the equator and warmer waters north. Now, historically, that pattern tends to favor cooler or near average summers in the eastern third of the country. What we're seeing here in the longer range forecast, now this is coming from an analog technique that I run, this is coming from the long range European model, and this is also coming from the 8 global models in the National Multimodal Ensemble. We think, based on all that, heat stays in the Central Plains mostly and extends toward the northwest. So I think those are the regions that have the highest probability of having much above average temperatures. These same models suggest that the state of Illinois has a warmer than average summer, but it's not the hottest location in the country in terms of temperature anomalies. Where they're keeping the drier conditions, northwest United States, Central Plains again. And there's long-range precipitation forecasting is quite challenging. But what it kind of signals to me is we have to watch the pattern set up in June to see if we get those all-important ridge-riding thunderstorms that kind of come from the northwest to kind of bring us the rain at the right time in July. And there's not a soul on the face of the earth that can forecast the position of those for you today for July. We have to wait and see how the whole pattern sets up at the end of June. So, but it does signal that we could be watching the Central Plains and Northwest United States for some heat this year.
Hey, thanks so much, Eric.
Yep, thank you.
Eric Snodgrass is from Agrible, from right here in Champaign County, Illinois.